Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about arugula, a.k.a. rocket salad, a.k.a. rocket. I think there's a few others.
There are. Okay. And I didn't know about any of those, and I'm delighted by all of them. It's so fun to say. All of them are so fun to say. They're
all of those words
good.
Are great. Yeah.
It's kind of a companion to our salad episode.
Sure.
Because we got curious about the peppery, what is it in arugula?
Yeah, what makes arugula peppery?
Yeah.
And, well, you'll have to wait just a minute for that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, then we started looking into it, and this is actually one I'm slightly embarrassed because I was just, like, basic Google search. So many references to it being an aphrodisiac came up that I was like, dude, we have to do this episode.
We have to talk about this. We got to get to the bottom of this. Yeah. Yeah. That's another teaser for what's to come.
Oh, goodness. Yes. It's also my favorite salad. I mean, like a very simple, like arugula salad with like a lemon vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some like pecorino shaved on there or something like that.
I love arugula, too. I feel like it's one of those things that's semi-newish in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've discovered it, every time I see it on a menu, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. I think I was introduced to it actually as rocket. At a British-themed pub.
Oh.
Here in Atlanta. But then after that, I saw it said both ways. So I don't know. I kind of picked up both.
I've never seen it as rocket. Or maybe I have. And every time I see rocket, I assume that's a sauce because there is a rocket sauce.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably in the salads and I'm thinking, that's a whole salad of rocket sauce. That's, well, that's America for you. But, okay, let's get to our question.
Oh, yeah.
Arugula. What is it?
You like saying it so much. I love
it. I know.
Arugula is a leafy green in the wide, wonderful Brassicaceae family. I'm still not sure if I'm saying that right. I'm sorry. My Latin is terrible. Anyway, it encompasses mustards, cabbages, and crucifers, everything from like kale to cauliflower to horseradish. Arugula looks sort of like a weed.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of is a weed. It's this vaguely stringy looking flowering plant that that grows to a couple feet tall. That's, you know, 2/3 of a meter or so. With these delicate lobed leaves coming off of the stem. You can grow a plant to harvest within like a month.
Wow.
Yeah. Like many of its relatives, arugula has this peppery, bitter sharpness to its fresh green flavor. And it can range from mild to like really kind of hot in taste.
Yeah.
Typically, just the leaves are eaten with very little stem involved because they're kind of tough and stringy. But the flowers, which are small and white or white purple or kind of greenish, are also edible.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Now about that word.
Yeah.
The name arugula wasn't commonplace in the United States until the 1980s when it started to take off among the more trendy foodies.
Mm-hmm.
Italian-Americans who were more familiar with the ingredient previously called it rucola or arugula. Rucola is the Italian word to this day, but if you were from the toe of Italy's boot, Calabria, the word used was aruculu. Since most Italian immigrants to the United States came from southern Italy, we commonly say arugula versus rocket, which was derived from northern Italian dialects sometime in the 16th century. The French called arugula roquette, and the British turned that into rocket.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah. And there are a bunch of cultivated varieties. There's also a separate, less mucked-with species called wild arugula that is grown and consumed and tends to be spicier.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nutrition-wise, arugula is pretty great for you. It's got some protein and dietary fiber and just so many vitamins and minerals, especially vitamins A and K and calcium and potassium. That signature peppery bite of arugula is due to a group of sulfurous compounds called glucosinolates, which botanists think that this family of plants developed in order to discourage pathogens from infecting them and pests from eating them. But as with many other plants, like suckers, humans decided that we like that.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool group of compounds, though. Researchers think that they might be how produce in this family helps prevent certain kinds of cancers when we eat them. Because some of the compounds that glucosinolates break down into when they're eaten have been shown to just really mess up tumor cells. Like they can prevent them from dividing and they can encourage the cells to just up and die.
Wow.
Yeah. And the breakdown of glucosinolates it is that defense mechanism. Like if something takes a chomp out of the plant's leaves, they spill out and interact with an enzyme that breaks them down into these other compounds that taste all bitter and sharp and unpleasant.
Huh.
Yeah.
I feel like we've talked about glucosinolates in our, at least in a couple other episodes, but in cauliflower, I think.
It's definitely in there as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've talked about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Numbers-wise, hard to come by.
Oh, I looked for an inappropriate amount of time to try to find global arugula rocket production. Like, the number of search terms that I used and the amount of time I spent was not worth the answer that I have for you, which is that I have no idea.
Nope. Nope.
Zero clue.
Maybe one of our listeners knows and can write in.
There you go.
And tell us.
Yeah.
But other than a salad superstar, you can eat arugula all types of ways.
Oh, sure.
On sandwiches, burgers, pastas, soups, stews, on pizza, and pesto-like sauces.
Yeah, you can just simmer up some or saute up some with a little bit of butter and lemon maybe and serve it like spinach.
Yeah, Parmesan, pine nuts. Mm-mm-mm.
And other than its food uses, the seeds contain some compounds that folks are researching for possible use in making industrial lubricants or biodiesel.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to talk about some history and some aphrodisiacs.
Yep, it is. But first, it's time for a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
Arugula probably originated in the Mediterranean, and it goes and has gone by many names, which makes searching for it a little complicated. Salad, rocket, roquette, garden rocket, arugula. The ancient Romans called arugula aruca and thought it was, say it with us now, an aphrodisiac. Virgil wrote of it, and the rocket, which revives drowsy Venus.
Sexual desire. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Aruca was the Latin word for caterpillar because caterpillars loved the plant so much. And or a type of cabbage. I saw some different reports on that one.
It is the genus name of the main group of arugulas now.
Mm-hmm.
Aruca.
Yes. Our pal Pliny the Elder also wrote about its properties as an aphrodisiac as well as an anesthetic.
Ancient Greeks considered it a remedy for male sexual impotence. In mythology, it was one of the sacred plants of the god Priapus. He's this fertility god who was thought to watch over like edible gardens and vineyards and farms. And dude was always portrayed with his genitals hanging out and like really over-exaggerated and in a state that explains why he's where we got the medical term priapism from.
Oh.
So... Greeks didn't have Netflix. Like,
that's true.
They had to make their own fun.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, folks would put up figures of him in their gardens to encourage the plants to grow and to double as a scarecrow.
Okay, sure. The ancient Egyptians ate arugula and, yes, used it as an aphrodisiac. For the sexually impotent, medieval Arab doctors would frequently recommend eating a mixture of arugula and honey. Arugula was name-checked in both the Bible and the Talmud. 9th-century Rabbi Amram Gaon recommended arugula for Passover Seder. Talmudic sages sometimes also suggested rubbing it over your eyes if you found some in the wild.
Okay.
However, the high priest was not allowed to partake in any arugula in the week leading up to Yom Kippur because, say it with us now, it was an aphrodisiac.
Wow.
Yeah. Oof. Some historians believe medieval monasteries also forbade the growth of arugula for that same reason.
Okay.
Arugula made its way to the New World with European colonists. The first known instance of arugula in American English was in 1960, an article written by Craig Claiborne featured in the New York Times.
Wow.
Yeah. And now, Arugula Gate.
So.
Heavy sigh.
It was 2007.
Yes. And Barack Obama, then campaigning for the presidency, he was speaking at a farm in Iowa, and he said, anybody gone into a Whole Foods lately and see what they charge for arugula? And of course, it caused controversy.
All kinds of controversy.
Oh my gosh. According to an article in the Chicago Tribune, this was evidence that Obama was more in touch with, quote, wine track voters as opposed to beer track voters. Because arugula is fancy and wine is fancy, I guess.
Yeah.
Quote, that comment came despite the fact that Iowa does not have any Whole Food stores, nor do its farmers typically grow the leafy green. Media Matters looked into this, and surprise, surprise, you can find arugula, and you could at that time, at stores throughout the state. It's also grown there.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's true that at the time they did not have a Whole Foods, I believe.
Yes, I think that's true.
They have one now.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Iowa.
Yeah, I guess.
But yeah, this arugula gate was a very real thing.
It was.
The media was all about it. And it might have had long-term effects on the American consumption of arugula. Apparently, kale and arugula were just about equally popular at the time. But after arugula gate, kale pulled way ahead. And currently, arugula is way less popular than either kale or spinach. And the fancy eaters who kind of picked it up in the first place have sort of gotten distracted by newer choices. Yeah. The 2008 election cycle, though, was part of a larger conversation about elitism in and through food culture. I mean, it's also kind of when people started railing against lattes.
The evil of lattes.
Lattes? What is that even? No. I mean, it's an understandable thing, you know, these kind of luxury items that...
Oh, sure.
And not everyone is a foodie. I kind of dislike the term foodie myself, despite the fact that I like a lot of food, but... because I do think that there's a sort of elitism in there that's unpleasant. It's like this thing isn't better than this other thing necessarily. Mm-hmm. And it's not, there's nothing wrong with having ignorance of these foods if you just haven't been exposed to them.
Oh, sure. Yeah, as someone who grew up in a very small place that when Walmart opened in our town, it was huge deal.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you had to drive 20, 30 minutes. I didn't know what kale was until a couple years ago. I talked about that in the episode we did on kale.
Sure.
There's just a lot of foods I didn't know about until I came to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it's kind of shocking in a way that to think that certain grocery stores just don't stock certain items.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you would never really know.
Yeah, if you didn't, right, mm-hmm. get further out there in the world or watch a lot of cooking shows or et cetera.
Exactly, yeah. And David Camp wrote a book kind of related to this whole idea, The United States of Arugula, How We Became a Gourmet Nation.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Also, because it grows so quickly and because it's considered a bit of a premium item, you know, it's one of the crops being grown in a lot of vertical farms. And if you haven't heard of vertical farming, it's these indoor, computer-optimized, multi-story vertical farms that are meant to bring fresh produce to the very centers of cities so that you can pick stuff and have it fresh in a grocery store for people to buy the same day rather than having to have all this time and money and carbon footprint transporting things in from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been a bunch of articles about this, and most of them play on the term rocket science.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I first started researching this episode, I was very, very tired and probably should not have been researching it because I fell for so many like puns and jokes that I thought were serious. I wrote out, arugula is called rocket because rocket scientists wanted to get kids to eat more vegetables. And I thought about it for a minute. I was like, I don't know if that's true. I came back and fact checked when I wasn't as tired.
Well, good.
But yeah, there are a lot of plays on that word, that name for it.
It's fun.
It is. It is so fun. I but there's part of me that wants to call it rocket, but arugula is also so good. Maybe just a mix and match depending on your mood.
Yeah.
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 I do think it's funny that arugula grows so quickly and is, I've read it described as a weed. In some places, and it's seen as fancy.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think for hundreds of years, people weren't too keen on actually, like, planting and growing it. They were just like, oh, I can just get that just down the road. I don't need to put that in my garden. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But then that aphrodisiac thing happened, and everyone was like, oh, in my garden all the time.
In my house plant. Everywhere. The power of the aphrodisiac. The belief of an aphrodisiac.
Yeah. Hey, placebo works 50% of the time.
We cannot underestimate.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway.
That is about what we have to say about arugula.
Uh-huh.
But we do have a little bit more for you.
We do, but first we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. I think that's what a rocket sounds like. Pretty sure that is totally what a rocket sounds like.
I'll go with it. Yeah, I like it.
Thank you. If it wasn't
before, it is now.
Yes. According to Saver, there's a ding sound at the end of a rocket launch.
Perfect.
Ethan wrote, I thought you might get a kick out of this. It's yet another example of humankind's uncanny ability to pursue alcohol by any means necessary. Late 19th century NYC prohibition laws prohibited the sale of alcohol on Sundays unless the establishment also served a meal to go along with it. Thus was born the rain sandwich. Sometimes made of rubber, these cheap, generally sickening sandwiches were served with tall glasses of suds as a way to circumvent the prohibition laws of the time. I think he sent along an article with this email, and I read it, and I think it was, they would pick it up and pass it on to the next person. Like, nobody was eating
this. Eating it.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Just a way to get around the law at the time.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Human ingenuity.
I know.
Dale wrote, my father worked for American Airlines for 30 years, from 1952 to 1982, the golden age from DC-8 to 747, and yes, to when they deregulated and killed the industry. Anyway, one day in the early 1970s, an aircraft had some mechanical issues and there were major delays. The meal for the flight was filet mignon. You always got good food then. The food was too close to the allowable time, so they ordered a new meal service from Sky Chef and disposed of the 200-plus meals on board. The meals were still all ice cold, so instead he took the entire old meal service and put it in the car. That night, we all sat around the table opening over 200 plastic-wrapped little white trays and pulled out the cold filet from each one, packed four each in plastic bags, there were four of us, and then placed them in the deep freezer. For well over a year, we were the only family I know of that had a weekly filet mignon night.
Good on your dad.
Right?
Don't let that go to waste.
That sounds like something you would do, Annie.
Oh, yeah, totally. Can't let filet mignon.
Come on, that's delicious and expensive.
Exactly. Once a week.
Gosh. Oh, now I want a steak.
Oh, I've been wanting a steak for a while, and we just did that thing on the Impossible Burger, so I'm just confused.
Can I make a small confession?
Yeah.
I went out to a restaurant like the night that we recorded the Impossible Burger episode and ordered a regular burger.
I appreciate your honesty.
I just...
But did it didn't have the Impossible Burger on the menu.
Oh, it was a joint that has the Beyond Burger.
Oh, dear.
But I wasn't sure if I could eat the sauce.
Okay.
And they are, like, a little bit picky about, like, substitutions and stuff. And I didn't want to ask the question because sometimes I just get tired. And
sure.
I just, you know.
That's fair.
I think it is, too. And that was a really good cheeseburger.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, Lauren. Glad you enjoyed it.
Oh, guiltily enjoyed it.
Sometimes... Okay. The craving you get from an episode is not the one you anticipated.
Yeah, I was just going like, how many gallons of water am I wasting? Oh,
but so good.
But so delicious.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Conflict. Mm-hmm. Thanks to both of them for writing in.
Yes.
We would love to hear from you, listeners. You can email us at hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at SaverPod. We would love to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio and Stuff Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thank you, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.